Deuteronomy chapter 25. If there's a controversy between men, and they come to judgment, and the judges judge them, then they must justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. If the wicked man is worthy to be beaten, the judge shall cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence, according to his wickedness, by number. 40 stripes he may give him, he must not exceed this number. If he should beat him with many more than 40 stripes, then your brother may seem vile to you. So even when someone has done something wrong, there is to be a respect shown to the person because they are human, because they are a person. You see this with the command about if somebody is executed for a crime, if they're a sinner, a serious breach has been made and their body is then hung up on a tree as a warning, they were not to leave it there overnight so it got pecked by birds, etc. There was to be a value and meaning attached to the human person. And there you have it. There you have, I think, the takeaway lesson for us. You shall not muzzle the ox when he treads out the grain. Well, this is one of a number of examples in the Law of Moses where God is sensitive to animals. It's not fair to make the ox trudge round, treading out the grain, and not let him be fed, take a gobble, a mouthful, now and again. It's like the command not to boil a kid goat, in its mother's milk. It's like the command about not taking a hen and its eggs at the same time. It's like the command not to cut down fruit trees when you're desperate for timber to build a battlement against a city you're attacking. God is sensitive to animals and to his natural creation, and we should be as well. But I think this points out the huge sensitivity that he has to people, and this sensitivity should be ours as well. If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead should not be married outside to a stranger. Her husband's brother should go into her and take her to him as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. Now, there are times when principles appear to conflict. This would have effectively made the husband's brother a polygamist, which was acceptable in those days, but was not the ideal. But God considered it more important that the man's name, the deceased man's name, should continue. The firstborn whom she bears will succeed in the name of his brother who is dead, so that his name is not blotted out of Israel. If the man doesn't want to take his brother's wife, then she shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to raise up to his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me." There's a lot of reasons why men didn't want to do that. It's like the anonymous relative with Ruth at the time of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. Well, they didn't particularly want to have children by another woman when they're already established in their family life, because it meant that their inheritance would have to be split up a bit more. So there are various reasons why they may not want to have another child or even another wife in the family. The elders of the city shall call him. And if he stands and says, "I don't want to take her," then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, loose his shoe from off his foot, spit in his face, and say, "So shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. His name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his shoe untied." So there was a huge value placed on building up your brother's house rather than solely concentrating on building up your own personal inheritance for your own personal kids. And there you have it. There you have the principle. Because the Western dream is very much to get all the chips you can in life, build up all you've got, and then, of course, it's game over because you're going to die. But you comfort yourself, "I am leaving this to my kids." Well, no. The idea here is that, no, sacrifice some of your resources for your brother, for your less fortunate brother. And don't focus only on your family and your inheritance. Often people will say, "Well, you know, I'm justified in doing what I'm doing and how I'm living my life. I don't do it for me, I do it for my kids." Well, yes and no, but you've got to import into that equation, as it were, the principle that you've got here. When men strive together one with another, you see how God's law foresaw there would be conflict and fights between men. He knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. And if the wife of one of them draws near to save her husband out of the hand of him who strikes him, and puts forth her hand and takes him by the private parts, then you shall cut off her hand. Well, the idea was, don't take an unfair advantage in life. Don't, as it were, abuse the weak. Don't abuse your position. Even if the person who you are supposedly doing it for is in the right, as you consider. And again, there is a takeaway principle there. You must not have in your bag different weights, a great and a small. You must not have in your house different measures, a great and a small. You shall have a just weight. That your days may be long in the land which Yahweh your God gives you, for all who do such things, all who do unrighteously, are an abomination to Yahweh. Well, the idea was that you went to the market to sell your grain or whatever, and you said, yep, I'll sell you the equivalent of, say, a kilo of grain, and you put the unjust weight on the balance, and actually you only sold them 900 grams. It would have had to be a very slight twist, a very slightly unequal weight to make what you were doing credible. The point is that even such petty dishonesty God notices. So he says, don't have in your house these things. He goes beyond saying, don't do this in the marketplace. He says, don't even give yourself the possibility of doing it. Cut that right off. Don't even have these unjust weights at home. You see how searching and piercing and penetrating is the mind of God. And again, the principle comes through. Don't give yourself even the opportunity to show petty dishonesty and to strive for very petty advantage materially. Because God notices, and he hates that kind of thing. He hates petty dishonesty. He is the God of the little man and the God of the small things, as well as the big things. Remember what Amalek did to you, by the way, as you came forth out of Egypt, how he met you by the way and struck the hindmost of you, all who were feeble behind you, when you were faint and weary, and he didn't fear God. And I think that is in the context of the woman who comes and takes the man by his private parts who's fighting with her husband. Don't take unfair advantage. Don't be fair and just. Therefore, when Yahweh your God has given you rest from all your enemies, you must blot out the memory of Amalek. God noticed what Amalek did, coming and attacking the weakest parts of the Israelite camp. As I say, he's the God of the small thing, and he notices all these sorts of things. Oh, that poor brother out there in Africa won't notice or won't be able to complain if I do this, or that poor woman won't be able to complain. This is the sort of thing that goes on in society all around us. And we are to be aware that God is extremely sensitive to that sort of abuse.